Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo with Jake Gutierrez. And now Mark Boerichter. I don't think you'll like this comparison, but somebody said Ryan Garcia is the Mexican Adrian Broner.
I hate it.
Which I, but it sure is right.
Yeah.
But you know what he is now?
He's a heel.
He's a draw. He's a heel.
Yeah.
But what I just described, I'm sitting there, Selena's going crazy, Phil's going crazy, Susan's going crazy, just wanting everyone to be happy, you're going crazy.
Different reactions for everybody, too.
Right.
Some for and against, whatever. It's what you want.
And there'll be some fights where he'll win some more, but there'll be some fights where he gets an ass whipping, whatever. But the point is,
people will love it.
People
yeah.
care. And he's got millions of IG followers that make him unreasonably popular. So,
welcome to 2024.
That's right.
He's got some interesting takes on life. And I agree with some of them.
Oh, boy.
Not all of them.
Oh, boy.
Not all of them.
All right. Here is Mark Boerichter. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Great.
You know what?
Good. Great.
Pretty damn good.
It's draft
wonderful week,
baby.
It's draft week. It's always fun. The NFL season just rolls on.
Isn't it bad that until last night I saw an ad for the draft and I was like, oh, yeah, the draft is in Detroit this year? Because I actually hadn't paid attention to where it's actually at.
Yeah, I just remember that there were people. I remember being at the draft last year, kind of walking around in the crowd on day one beforehand, and these people from Detroit, and Detroit wasn't picking early. I'm like, you guys came down here? Well, yeah, it's going to be Detroit next year. We just want to come see what it's like. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is what you do. Yeah. But the NFL is going to keep doing this because people, they were from all over. And they weren't all picking in the top 10.
No.
They were just there to have fun. And there will be people all over Detroit as well. I hope they get good weather up there. I haven't looked at the weather in Detroit. I mean, that's always a key for this because there's, I mean, it's the draft part is covered, but the fans will be outdoors for a good portion of this.
Are they doing it at Ford Field?
I think, well,
I
you know,
even, again, I haven't even looked.
Ford Field, everything is downtown. They have a big, so I think it's like
in that area,
gotcha. Whatever that's called. But it's, it was something last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy part, Stephen, you remember this from walking around a little bit. When the people came from out of town, you look at the overhead map. Oh, it's you just walk this far. They don't show on there that it's a tremendous hill that you have to climb up to get to, you know, the Liberty Memorial and then back down. It's like, oh, yeah, this is sure it's four blocks. But it's four blocks and it's a monstrous hill to get up to the top and back down. I threw some steps on the old phone on that Thursday especially because I walked up to the red carpet area. And
which was at the Liberty Memorial. Up top
it was at the very top of Liberty Memorial. Yeah. So you had to go up, and you couldn't just like walk. You had to go up around the side, and you know all that. And it was something. I was like, I made it to the top. I'm like, I'm here, and here are some people walking on the red carpet. Because why not?
That's right.
Why not? Indeed.
Now we have some sound from Brett Veach. What time did he do that on Friday?
It was about 10.
Yeah, they always do it so convenient for our show. I really appreciate
it. It was supposed to be on a Thursday, and then it ended up being on a Friday because of scheduling things. So
it was Zoom.
It was a Zoom, not in person.
What do they do in person anymore? I used to like the in-person draft.
It was supposed to be in person on Thursday, but then it just got, like, the timing got messed up. So they just, and that's the good part about Zoom. You could just do it, and it's not an inconvenience. It's harder for the TV stations, really, because it takes a couple people. You know, it takes photographers and all that stuff.
But it's not as good.
No, it's not.
And you don't get somebody live and be able to. It's just,
Veach
different.
Did answer a lot of questions.
Some of that is strategic, though.
Some of it is, but
I'm trying to get him to say.
He answered lots of questions, and it was they did not say, all right, a couple more and, you know, shut it down. He was on there for quite a while. It was good.
I'd be happy to do that in a private meeting with you.
I'd be happy to do it at a private meeting.
Well, there. He just walks off in the middle of the segment.
But Veach was he's good. I mean, he's always good on these things, you know. I do like – we played that one in the Open. We'll probably play it here at some point over the next few days as well. But he's just very honest. You know, 16, 18 guys, first-round grades.
Yeah.
You know, and then he said we had 221 guys on our draft board.
Yeah.
That's the entire draft board. I don't know. What, you have 221 guys in your draft board? Okay, sure. Why not? Hey, that, my draft board's weird. This is how I do it. Okay, fine. It's all good. It's all good. But
all right, let's hear a couple of Brett Veach clips so we can have Mark Boerichter respond to them or react to them.
Let's do it. Ready.
Oh, boy. There's lots here. The two most likely positions for the Chiefs to take in the first round are offensive tackle and wide receivers. That mean they'll take one of those positions? No, but those would be the two favorites. Of course, it depends on how the board falls. Brett Veach was asked about the value in the offensive tackle and wide receiver classes.
I think the draft in general has some positional depth, although it is funny when we're looking at the numbers and the general consensus is this is a deep O-line class or this is a deep D-line class or what have you. It's not necessarily true for us, I think, sometimes, because, like, for the tackle position, I think once you get past, like, pick 35 or 40, most of those guys are gone. So if you're picking in the top 10, it's a great offensive line class. If you're picking in the top 15, it's a great offensive line class. If you're picking 32 and 64, you got a shot maybe here or there. So I think that goes into, you know, the additional work we put in and putting a strategy together and what guys might be worth a move, depending on how it all plays out and, you know, what other positions are going to provide top-end value if, say, an O-lineman or receiver isn't there. And, you know, do you go corner? Do you go defensive line? I think that there are some interesting pockets there. So I think the good thing is, like every year, there's a lot of good players, and it's just a matter of working on our board, our system, given the picks we have and the, you know, the potential moves we can make.
I do like that everyone's got their own draft board, their own system, their own way of doing it. I mean, there's 32 teams. They don't all do it the same way. Even the ones who have been around some other place and they've gone out and they're you know, like Ryan Poles is the GM. He's been around Kansas City for a long time. He's going to tweak it and have his own way. And I'll bet if you – I mean, honestly, if you look at even just the top five picks and you had everyone in all 32 teams make their own top five picks and how it should go, there'll be many different picks there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's because you're not only selecting, you know, quote, best player available, right? That's always the big key one, too, is that. But you're drafting guys that fit in your system, right, that you like, that you want, that are going to fit with what you do. Now, in the National Football League, that system might only last 2 years, you know, especially if you're – You're picking pretty high.
And your locker room, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I think that's the key here. There are so many other intangibles other than just the physical side of things on the player piece that needs to fit your personality of your team, your locker room, all those different things. And in the tackle case, you can put the top five tackles there and ask all 32 teams, and they're probably going to rank them differently, right? There might be a couple consistencies in there. You know, the first couple guys. But after that, you know, it depends on your, you know, personal preference on things. But I do think that offensive, we've talked about this, the wide receiver draft is deeper this year overall. I think you got a couple guys that are head or heels above the others, right? But there's that next level of receiver in there is there's definitely more depth this year. And I think there's depth to tackle too. But again, I think the tackle piece to me for them has to fit them more than what the wide receiver does, because I think there's greater depth at receiver.
Tell me about this pullover, because I like it. What do we got here? It says Casey on the sleeves.
Yeah, it's a little golf pullover from the Casey Ambassadors golf tournament.
Very nice.
Yeah, from last year.
Very eye-catching.
Adidas.
I like it a lot. Sorry, just, you know. Stood out to me when he walked in. Like,
I don't think I could pull off all white like that.
I think
that.
You could. You definitely could. All right. You heard Brett Veach talk about it's different if you're in the top 15 versus picking at number 32. Matt Derrick, regular contributor to the Border Patrol from ChiefsDigest.com, asked Veach if it would be possible, if he could see the Chiefs making a move from 32 into the top 15 for a non-quarterback.
I mean, I can envision myself. I mean, got to get the owner's approval on that, but No, I think it just it changes every year, and I think we have a pretty good plan this this upcoming week. But yeah, I think listen, every situation is unique. I mean, we have had conversations in the last few years about guys that we consider top five, top six prospects if they were to fall into the teams moving up, and got Clark and Andy involved, and they were all in it, and those situations just didn't work out. So I think that I certainly could see something like that. A lot of things have to fall in place, though, for that to happen. So it would have to be the probably a specific guy or two, and then probably getting into a landing spot that's not expected. And then if he does get to that landing spot that's not expected, the team is willing to work with you on a trade. That makes sense. So certainly can see it. A lot of things have to happen and fall in place for to see an outcome like that. But I always think anything's possible.
Hey, you're asking me, will I trade up? Hell yes, I'll trade up. I mean, he's like,
of course
he was so antsy last year to trade up, and then nobody would play with them, and they were so disappointed.
Yeah.
So I hope he doesn't get a little, too excited too this antsy. Year and make a move that he does that doesn't have good value or whatever. But he always likes to trade, whether it's up or down or whatever.
Like, I think everything's on the table for them, right? Like, I do, and it's... You know, they don't have a ton of draft capital this year overall. But, you know, the advantage of the NFL draft is finding young guys that are on rookie contracts that could be starters for you, right? That's the big advantage there because when you talked about salary cap piece. But you've seen teams in the past few years. The Rams are picking in the first round this year for the first time since, what, 2018,
forever,
I think?
Forever, yeah.
Yeah, like that. Just say F those picks, you know, out there and don't care about it. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade, you know, the higher round pick, a low round pick, right, but a higher draft pick value-wise in next year's draft to move up. That's what it's going to take. I also wouldn't completely throw out the window a possibility of packaging a trade with one of their current players in that mix because they can't pay all these guys. So there's some tremendous value in maybe a starting offensive lineman that they could trade. I don't necessarily think they will. I'm just saying that all these possibilities are on the table.
Well, this is the time that you can do it.
This is the time that would happen. Yes, yeah. Exactly, is where I'm going with that. So, but yeah. Brett Veach is that guy, that knee just starts popping as we sit here, right? Like, just starts getting that itch, like, oh, okay, these guys are falling. But, again, you have to have teams that are willing to want to talk trade at that point. And then it's got to be a team that doesn't look at you and go, we can't do this deal with the Kansas City Chiefs right here based on their success over the last couple of years.
That's
the fact. You start paying a little bit of a premium because of that.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part about all that. So, you know, a lot of those factors, I know they tried to trade up last year. All those factors come into play. And, you know, no matter what happens, if they hold Pat and pick at 32, they're going to say, hey, we got the guy we wanted.
Of course.
They all do.
The reality is
they've been working behind the scenes to try to trade up into the teens to get somebody else. You know, like that always happens.
And sometimes you may end up picking someone at your spot that you would have traded up five spots for, but the other people's board didn't have them on there. They didn't need them or whatever. Some of the best players on the Chiefs team, and this isn't Veach was here, but some of it was Doris, right? But, I mean, listen, they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. They traded down. They got Chris Jones. I mean, they move around, and it's worked out pretty well for them. But last year, and I think this will happen more and more when you keep winning, people don't want to trade with you.
Yeah.
Because, well, why would we help you do what you want to do?
Exactly. Exactly.
We're not in the business of helping you be better than you already are.
Especially AFC teams, right? That's the other piece.
No doubt.
All right, here is Brett Veach when he was asked about the struggle in finding other teams to trade with. He was asked if he's finding that other teams don't want to trade with the Chiefs because they don't want to help the two-time back-to-back champs.
Yes and no. I think that if a team... if it can benefit them, I think they're always going to pick up the phone and call and be willing to work. I don't think a team is going to, diminish their ability to do something they really want to do just because it's the Chiefs. I do think, though, that the ability to deal with certain teams, it's always been understood that if you're going to deal with a team in your division, there's a little bit more of a premium. But I think just some of the AFC teams in general that – are consistent playoff performers. I mean, the Buffaloes and the Cincinnati's and the Baltimores. I mean, it's probably a little bit harder to deal with those teams. And even if they do pick up the phone, I think some of their asking prices are a tick higher. So I think we get hit with a little bit more interest. But I think that there's always a way to make a deal. But I think certain teams will probably up the price up a little bit.
Everybody always has a price.
Yeah, for sure.
But everything's got a price.
I get it, too. I mean, if you're the other team, of course, ask more.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part of the actual draft time, because there's a time limit on it.
Yeah.
You know, deadlines make deals. And if you have, all right, there's 4 minutes left on the clock, here it is. Let's do this thing.
I'll be honest with you, though. Like, if I'm Buffalo, I'm never trading with the Chiefs.
Not yes. Again.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Because you gave the Chiefs Mahomes, mm-hmm. and then you sat on your hands, and as Jake would say, sat on your thumbs, and let the Chiefs leapfrog you for Trent McDuffie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, I'm not helping the Chiefs do anything. In fact, I'm trying to block.
Yeah, what can whatever, I do?
What can I do to prevent them from even moving up at all?
How can I hurt the
like,
Chiefs?
What can I do, right? So I think there might be a couple of teams out there like, no. No.
Yeah.
And Buffalo should be one of them.
For whatever the price.
Right.
Just say no.
Because guess what? They got good return in that deal where they let the Chiefs move up to
they
get
did.
Mahomes.
They did, yeah.
But that will haunt them
yes.
for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They probably have a couple of Super Bowl trips if they didn't make that trade with the Chiefs. So,
I'm not sitting on my thumbs.
Right.
You know, I'm just...
Brett Veach, let's go back to number three. Brett Veach was asked about the depth of the wide receiver class.
I think it's one of the deeper classes. The good thing about the wide receiver position, this is typically every year, is they provide depth really 1 through 5, and there's always, you know, pockets of players. I think there's a large group of receivers in the first 50 picks, I think, that we have great grades on, and then I think there's another pocket right behind that. I think that is a positive. I think, you know, corner, there's some depth, you know, middle to later on in the draft. O-lineman, as I mentioned in the opener, it's really good early. And so there'll be a late run on those guys, but it tails off a little bit. I think it's a better defensive line class than we've seen in the past. I think there's some good mid-round depth there. You know, linebacker running back's probably a little lighter than years past. So I think O-line, receivers, corners are good hot spots throughout the draft, and that's a good thing because we can use one of each of those.
Any comments there before we move on?
Well, it's like anything. You think that right now that these – because you have to grade these guys now. You talk to them and you grade them and you look at the college tape and you do all that. And you think maybe there's – you know, the best tackles are all in the first 15 picks or something like that. But there's probably like a fifth-round tackle who's going to play for years in this league.
Yeah.
And that's what they have been really good at finding – especially at the defensive back position,
yes.
but other positions as well. And I think it's easier for players to perform better with the Chiefs because the Chiefs are very good, and they coach people up. And you're maybe, no matter what position you're playing, not as much as expected of you early in your career. It's a great place to come learn and flourish over time. And I think that's not the case at a lot of places. If you're one of these teams that, you know, you're just going to throw people in there, and you got brand new coaches and all this stuff. How hard is it in the National Football League to come in and be a star or be really productive early when you're walking into an unstable situation? Infinitely harder than coming into a place like Kansas City where, all right, you just work your way in and let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous advantage for them because of the stability they've had, right? And it starts with their head coach. Pittsburgh's a lot that way, too. Now, Pittsburgh, you know, you talk to a lot of people and there was a lot of buzz this year about Mike Tomlin coming back,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there's something to be said for that stability, and they're, you know, they haven't gotten over the hump there in a long time, but they're always consistently good, right? Same with the Ravens with John Harbaugh. Now, obviously, he's got a Super Bowl ring there, but that stability within an organization allows you to sometimes be a little more aggressive in the draft, because you can take a shot on a guy here or there. But it also provides you the opportunity to just do what you do and stick to your guns on things because you're not desperate to okay, we've got to find this guy, or we got to do this because, you know, otherwise our jobs are on the line on things. So I just think that everything's on the table for this draft. I'm excited to see what happens on Thursday night, how this all unfolds, because there's always going to be guys that on the national level and perception are falling, quote, falling down the draft board when the reality is they weren't rated that high. And you're going to see a few teams reach for some guys that they probably shouldn't.
Yep.
And there's always one or two in the first round that everybody kind of looks around and goes,
what is that?
Who?
Yeah.
What?
Well, hey, listen, it only takes one.
Yes.
It only takes one team.
It
you
does.
Don't have to have all 32 teams to have you rated where you end up getting picked. It just takes one of them, and it happens all the time. And sometimes they'll work out, and sometimes it's like, all right, well, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
And you look back in a couple years ago, what a disaster that was.
Yes.
And the Chiefs have done a nice job. They're not all perfect, but, you know, once again, it's easier to do a nice job when you're walking into a situation that's really good.
They have been more than above average in terms of their drafting and hitting on guys, especially the later round guys.
And maybe it's why they've won some Super Bowls.
That's exactly why.
they've done free agency pretty well. They've done the draft pretty well. They've done a nice job with the contracts and keeping certain guys. And there'll be some tests coming up. I mean, let L'Jarius Sneed trade away. Let Tyreek Hill, they traded him away. And they've passed those so far. But there'll be more of those challenges coming up. Because you can't keep all of these good players, as you were talking about.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys over the next year or so who are part of really good draft classes that they're going to have decisions to make on.
It's a good problem to have when you're hitting on guys like
that. Absolutely.
Let's take a break. Back into this on WHB. We're going to roll through some more clips from Brett Veach and then hear an interesting clip from Tyreek Hill because Todd demands it. First, I think this is an interesting topic. Tavondre Sweat, Texas defensive tackle, who was the Outland Trophy winner and also the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, was at one time looked upon as a fringe day one, but a day two prospect. But then his weight has bothered people, and some people now are starting to question things about him, whatever, you know, as they pick these prospects apart. But then within the last couple of weeks, when all of the eyes are on you, he got a DUI. And so now that obviously is scaring some teams off. And also the fact that his weight is up to 370 pounds. That is scaring some teams off. And so Veach was asked if the Rashee Rice situation, what happened with Rashee Rice in the wreck, forces the Chiefs to take Tavondre Sweat off the board because of his recent issues.
We spend a great deal of time on all these players, and you know, I think we have to look at each individual case independently and just work through it. And you know, I think maybe subconsciously, maybe it factors a little, but I think that when we stick to our process and you know, trust the guys that we have around us, I mean, we have a great coaching staff, we have a great personnel staff, we have you know, a great security team, so we really lean on those guys. And you know, at the end of the day, I trust the people around me, and you know, they spend a lot of time working on the player and his ability to come in here and be a good person, be a good teammate. And so I think you know, we try to stick to, you know, what we've done in the past. And I mean, there'll always be some things that factor into ultimately what we decide to do with a guy. But I think sticking to our process, and we've done this now for, you know, a little bit here, and it over the long run, it's you know, provided us a good blueprint to work off of.
So this is a situation where clearly he's a very talented defensive tackle. You can get defensive tackles later on in the draft that are effective. We've seen many cases of that. But the weight's a concern. But then when you're trying to prove to these teams that, you know, they'll draft me, you can trust me, then he has a DUI in that frame of time, that might cause some teams to say, you know what, we're good. And especially with the Chiefs, if you're the Chiefs.
I didn't hear him anywhere in his say, right. No, we're absolutely not going to pick
so,
him.
But I'm asking you, does that, because let's be honest here, at the end of the day, if you need a defensive tackle, he's going to fall now. And he was going to be a second-round pick, and now he might be a fourth or fifth-round pick. What do you do?
I don't think the Chiefs, I mean, I think the Chiefs care, okay? But I think the Chiefs feel like they can fit anyone into what
they
do.
But I'm asking
here.
You, you've seen him as a player. Do you? What do you think?
I mean, he's a great, big, strong guy. Yeah, I mean, they could use players like that. And I don't think, I didn't hear Brett Veach say he's not on our board.
Right.
So if he's there and they think at that time that he could help them, they will absolutely draft him.
Because if someone can get to him and get him in shape in the right locker room, that you watch.
This is where all those factors come into play, right? And this is, the Chiefs do not shy away from guys that have issues a lot of times. Now, not every single guy's on their board that has issues, okay? They've taken guys off, for sure. But when you hear him talk about the locker room, the personnel staff, the security staff, all the people around it, that tells me that they feel comfortable with their environment, that they can take some flyers on some guys like this, right? The other portion of this is that professional sports is different, right? There are a lot of these guys that come from all different backgrounds, all different ways of life. Everybody has issues, right? Everybody in this room has some sort of issues on things. But it is, it's whether or not you can play football at the highest level mm-hmm. when it comes down to it. And the higher you're picked in the draft, the more chances you get. That's just a fact. That doesn't matter if you're a bonehead or you're a good dude or whatever else. You're going to get more chances. But there are going to be guys like this with some character concerns that will... Some teams will completely take them off their board. Some teams won't. Some teams may, quote, have them off their board, and all of a sudden he's sitting there in the fifth round, and you're like, hey, we've already addressed all these other positions. We're getting a pretty good talent. Like, this is not the same situation, but the reason they got Trey Smith when they got Trey Smith is because he had medical issues with blood clots
right.
in Tennessee.
They said
like, that's an off-the-field issue because it's health.
Well, I mean,
not about him getting in trouble and stuff, but... That's a perfect example of a guy that, had he not had those medical issues, would have been a first or second round pick that year.
This organization drafted, I mean, Marcus Peters had red flags all over the place.
Yep.
He was, you know, allegedly choked his position coach at Washington. They picked him in the first round. Tyreek Hill was off a lot of people's boards. Mm-hmm. They picked him. You know, and they brought people in who have had issues here or there. I'm not judging anything on
yes.
it. I'm just telling you right now. They will take chances because they feel like their culture,
yep.
they can make anyone conform and succeed there. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. I don't think Marcus Peters was a failure as a draft pick. He was a quality player on occasion when he was here. But in the end, they realized it's not worth the trouble. You know, with the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
I like when people say that.
And so they traded him away.
Yep.
And people are like, I can't believe this is all they got for him. Hey. It's when he got here and then he, you know, threw his flag in the stands and all the things that were going on. He's like, all right, we can't do this anymore. Yeah. And so they weren't in a position where they could just have, you know, give a first round, you know, draft pick for this guy. So you take a chance sometimes and it doesn't work out.
One of the main reasons why Jake came back to A-10, he said, my juice is worth the squeeze.
No question.
This is one of the
multiple
squeezes. He's in one of the top factors. I was
get some of that squeeze.
It made
in
me
here.
Feel good.
So is this guy off the Chiefs board? I don't think he's
okay.
off the Chiefs board.
No,
we're just going to skip ahead to because I want to spend some time on the Tyreek Hill because
okay.
you unearthed that. Where did you find that at?
Come on, tell us. Finn's Extra, which is
what are you a follower of Finn's Extra?
No, I'm not, but I saw it on social medias. And I'll set
like
the
Finn's
picture.
Extra.
Finn's Extra. There's lots of things that are probably really, really important to Dolphins fans. A lot of
right.
good Tyreek clips in here, but the one that would
reek
that would work for us here in Kansas City is him talking about what happened.
And speaking of drafting a guy with red flags,
that's exactly.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that was a big deal. You remember that day? It was a you know last day of the draft. They had to come out and address that specifically because
right.
social media went crazy.
Doggone it!
You know, and listen, and it worked out. I mean, Tyreek Hill. Was great for the Chiefs, but in the end,
mm-hmm.
he wanted a lot of juice, and it wasn't worth the squeeze.
Right.
They traded him away. So this, I would set the picture. You will hear a dog barking You will hear a child talking.
Good. They are on called Nat Sound, buddy.
They're on a concrete slab of something that looks like a construction of a garage or a shed or something. That's where this interview
Who
is taking place. There's two guys with fins
maybe
extra.
Maybe they're rebuilding his house.
They could be
down.
That burned down. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
so Tyreek is in a folding chair on the middle of a concrete slab, and the two guys from Fins Extra are in folding chairs.
I like this.
Go watch it. I'm going to go watch the whole thing. But he's talking here about being challenged, even though he's a good player. And he brings up L'Jarius Sneed and all that stuff.
Bowridge's legitimately excited to hear this clip now that you set the scene.
You listen closely for the dog and a child
here
as well.
From the meeting room with the coaches calling you out in front of other guys, because a lot of guys aren't used to that. A lot of guys aren't used to sitting inside of a meeting room, being the best player on their team their whole entire life, and then a coach saying, bro, you suck this play,
you, ever had somebody say that to you?
Oh, yeah, this year, Miami Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? Like, the play against Sneed, the play the Chiefs. Everybody see this play against the Chiefs? One coming to the floor. He called me out. He like, Reek, bro, you supposed to be the best player in the league, and you got this guy putting hands all over you like that. We pay you all this money for what? And for me, I love that, because I'm going to take that to heart, and I'm going to get better from it. That'll never happen again to me in my life, man. You feel me? If a motherfucker not hold me accountable, I feel like I'm not going to be able to get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, the coaches can bypass that, you know what I'm saying, and just be like, he'll get better from it. But if he not saying nothing, like, the other guys in the locker room, they're going to look at it as, if Reek can do it, I can do it. And that's not getting the team better. I need everybody to get better, bro. You know what I'm saying? Baby brother Waddle, I got him up under my wing trying to teach him. I'm like, bro.
He a dog.
I want everybody to get paid, bro.
He a dog.
Everybody deserve it, bro.
So he said it was the head coach that.
That's what he said.
Mike McDaniels.
First of all, at some point,
I want to know what meeting room this happened in, because that was the last game of the year.
I mean, it could have been OTA stuff.
Yes.
I mean,
it certainly could. It certainly could. I'm making a joke on that piece. Look, I think that this is the difficulty in coaching, okay? And whether it's at the high school level, whether it's at the college level, whether it's at the specifically in pro sports. In pro sports, those guys are making way more money than you are as a coach, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy for them to put up the middle finger to you and be like, don't talk to me. That's who I am. You got to coach guys the same, but you don't treat them all different. You can treat them differently.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. Because not every kid can take a certain type of coaching these days, right? It used to always be just the hard-ass coach and yelling and screaming and everything else. Not every kid can take that, you know. It's about developing those relationships. But you have to be able to hold other folks accountable. It's the same. It's what makes Patrick Mahomes great, okay? There were times this year I criticized him a little bit and some other people, and it's like, well, no, it's on the receivers. It's you know, other people were saying this too. And it's like, well, your starting quarterback still can get criticized for not throwing a good ball.
I've heard Matt Nagy several times this year saying Patrick wants to be coached.
Yeah.
And in these meeting rooms.
Your greatest players, okay, want to be coached.
And it sounds like Tyreek doesn't mind being coached.
No, he doesn't. I think that's the long roundabout way for him is saying, like, if you can't hold your best players accountable to certain situations on things, then you're not going to develop a winning culture because they're going to get away with everything. Now, L'Jarius Sneed punked him on that play, okay? But it was one play. At the end,
by the way, Tyreek Hill was probably the best player on the field for the Dolphins that night because nobody else showed up.
No, and the other thing is, when you look at the two times that the Chiefs played the Dolphins this year, they really held him in check.
They did.
You know, McDuffie obviously had the punch out in Germany and all that kind of stuff. So, like, it's going to happen. The other guy's getting paid also, right, in the National Football League. But you have to be able to hold all of your players accountable to that. And if your guy making the most money is your best player, it's the same thing when Chris Jones gets criticized for not playing in the run game a little bit. We all look at him and be like, well, guess what? Then he comes back and makes two sacks, and everybody's like, oh, it's the greatest thing in the world, right? Type thing. But in the meeting rooms, like, we've heard Chris Jones talk about this, that Joe Colan talked about all the loafs he had, right? Like, he's holding him accountable, too. Like, you have to be able – you treat stars differently, but you still have to hold them accountable when it comes down to the football side of it.
I thought that was interesting stuff. Sneed put him on the floor.
We will.
That was one of the most fun plays.
It was awesome.
Oh, it was great.
I mean, remember that's what I went and talked to Sneed about after the game. Yeah.
That's also when Tyreek Hill gets him. Like, the best part about that to me for him was, like, also admitting after the game that he got him on that play.
Yeah.
You know, and you all saw it.
what everyone else was talking about.
Yes.
All the other defenders about how Snead set the tone with that play and how big that was. And how much they enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And then Tyreek's like, he pushed me into Mexico or Cancun.
Right.
This is sticking with him.
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill is a great player, and he will get better from that because he's not above taking that criticism and working hard at it. That's why he's turned into a guy who went to three colleges and got drafted late and is one of the best wide receivers we've seen in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. But he got beat on that play, and it was big, and he didn't want any part of it because it was none degrees. Fun night, though.
We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much. Have you ever stayed at the Hotel Yorba?
I would. I would, though. Let's go there and get connecting rooms at the Hotel Yorba.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mark Boerichter.
Stephen St. John.
We both went Thursday night to get here.
Yeah.
First question. Will the Chiefs trade up, trade down, or stand pat?
I've said this before. Everything's on the table, Stephen. But I think they will stand pat. To put it
not by choice.
Not by choice.
Nobody will play.
Brett Veach will get that itchy leg going and knee and try to. But I think they will end up staying pat.
What position will the Chiefs take?
I think it's one of two. It's an offensive tackle or receiver. Mm-hmm. But I think that my gut feeling tells me, just in, again, throwing a dart here, that some of the offensive tackles they like will be gone. He will have tried to move up at that time, but they will take a wide receiver.
Is there a wide receiver that tickles your fancy more than the others?
There's quite a few. But when you start looking at...
That are likely to be available.
Yes, when they're don't
give me Jake's like, I like Marvin Harrison Jr.
He's real good. Generational
player. Roma Dunze is going to be there at 32.
Joel.
I think Ladd McConkey's in the mix there. Okay.
I wish they'd take him, and now I wanted to take him so bad, I don't think he will.
I've already told you guys the Ricky Pearsall kid from Florida I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The other receiver, and I don't think this is a first-round pick for them, but the Jalen Polk kid from Washington as well. Both of Washington receivers are really good. I like them both. But
a lot of buzz now. Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky.
Yep, he's in there too. I've seen who's the kid from Oregon? Oh, Franklin, Troy Franklin.
Yeah, I've seen him slipping a little bit.
He's a little – I saw him listed like 180 pounds, but that's very generous. A taller guy. He reminds me of a very talented receiver. Reminds me a lot of a guy that's on staff right now with the Chiefs, and Todd Pinkston.
Hmm.
He's a very tall, extremely slender wide receiver on things.
But Xavier Leggett from South Carolina.
Yeah, again, there's a lot of depth there with all these guys. But I think if Ladd McConkey's there at 32 for Brett Veach, I think they take it.
I think he'd be a great fit.
Yeah, I've been studying some of these things, and it's like so you keep seeing Leggett, and then you seem like some boards 62nd. Well, that's a long ways away from.
There's a lot of those guys that could. Again, it depends on what your draft board says and how you've evaluated these guys. I think there's a pretty good consensus on
everywhere you see McConkey is within about.
Yeah,
four or five picks
because,
either way of 32.
Because you've got Marvin Harrison and Adunze and Malik Nabers and the top five guys in that piece. The other kid from LSU too. So,
and there's a couple of the Worthy from Texas is kind of hanging in that area, very fast. But people say he's too skinny. Whatever
he's kind of the same as the kid
Mitchell
from Oregon a little bit. Yeah. Mitchell.
There are more talented wide receivers now coming out of the drafts than there's ever been before. Because there are so many offenses have five, six guys who catch a lot of passes. And that's what college football is. It used to be back in the day, there'd be how many guys would have anything near 1,000 yards in college football. It's just a different thing now. So there's lots of them. A lot of choices.
Mark Boberger, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it a joy to be in studio with Todd Lebo?
It's always a joy to see Todd.
Joy. You better believe it.
It's an absolute joy.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.